We celebrate Anglican women, not just AWA, Anglican Women's Association, but all our women's ministry. And we give thanks to God for those who have served the Lord through the church in the past, are in the present, and who will so into the future. And when I think about women serving the church, I think of my grandmother and her impact on my life and her legacy. But as we have Stuart with us this morning, Stuart lives in Brisbane, and his mum lives in town, Nora Rees, and Stuart's a very gifted musician. And I read a book about a lady some years ago, and there's this connection that Stuart has with this lady as well, and I thought it'd be fitting just to get a bit of a cap about this lady's life to spur us on in our Christian journey. So we haven't rehearsed this. I thought about doing this last time we were in town, but you didn't make it to the service, I don't think. So what do you know about this lady? What's her name for a start?
Jackie Pullinger.
Jackie Pullinger. And where does she live or serve?
In Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong. Do you know much about how she got there?
Oh yeah, it's an amazing story.
Yeah, can you hear him okay?
No.
Is it turned on?
Yeah.
That
much better.
This will be better.
Oh yeah, that's fine. Jackie's an amazing story. She must be 74 now, but when she was 24, she was a wild child, and she lived in Kensington in London, and Kensington is the good part of London, you know, Kensington Palace.
Yeah.
But she was a party girl, and she was finding faith, but she was a party girl as well, and she was worried that the party girl part of her was going to get control of her life. So she got serious with God, and she went to an Anglican church over there, and she said to the curate, I really feel on this... on my heart, God's calling me to go, but I don't know where to go. And the curate said to her, well, if you honestly don't know where to go, honestly don't know, what I would do is I would buy a ticket on a boat, because this is 50 years ago, remember, that's going the longest distance with the most stops, and when God tells you get off, guess what God said to Abraham, go, he didn't tell him where. So, you know, it's the same call God gave Abraham. When God says, get off the boat. So she said, okay, that makes sense to me, you know, because I'm, you know, don't hear the voice of God very clearly at that stage. She does now, but she didn't. So she did exactly what the curate said. So she bought a ticket on a boat to Hong Kong from England 50 years ago. That was the furthest distance. And with all stops to Hong Kong, except she didn't hear from God. So she got to Hong Kong and couldn't get off the boat. She said, well, I better get off the boat. The boat's stopping. And then they wouldn't let her off the boat. And the reason was, she was 24, she was gorgeous, she was a gifted clarinetist, she played, I think, in one of the symphony orchestras in London, and a single white female in Hong Kong, now we've got enough of people like that, we don't need any more street ladies, because... Anyway, so she spent all day arguing with the customs official, and then she remembered that she had an uncle, a distant granduncle, twice removed or something like that, who was an inspector of police. And so the customs official said, oh, I can't believe this. Those sort of women don't have an uncle who's an inspector of police. Of course, your honourable lady, please come to our city, Hong Kong. So that's how she got into Hong Kong. So she went there with an oboe, and God drew her to the drug addicts, which were the untouchables, as still are, really. And so she began a ministry to the drug addicts in Hong Kong, and she found about a place called the Walled City. Now, in 1999, Hong Kong was ceded back to China because... England had a 99-year lease on Hong Kong. But the Walled City was outside the jurisdiction of England, and it was outside the jurisdiction of Hong Kong, because when they drew the map, they left out this 1 mile square block of Hong Kong. And in this 1 mile square of Hong Kong, there were 60,000 people. But it was outside law. It didn't have electricity. It didn't have power. It didn't have sewage. It didn't have water. And so all the power came in. It was pirated in from the lines around it. And the main street was about as wide as that carpet. It was an open sewer flowing through the bottom. Through the middle, and the old hookers used to come and just, they'd crouch there, and the old dealers would come and inject them in their back, because they had no veins for their drugs, and that's how it started. And it's an extraordinary story, because through one woman, aged 24, with a clarinet, the clarinet got stolen. She ended up hiring a room, sort of as a boys, like a clubhouse, and the room got defaced and degraded and peeled over, and all the horrible stuff done. This has happened several times. And she met all the trades, and a boy would come to the Lord. She found God, she found the Spirit, and that's all she had, because the clarinet was taken, the oboe, and the gangs would come, and the Chinese triads, the gangs that have fights and they have their meat cleavers and they all come to chop each other up. These kids are so bad that they leave home at the age of two because they're uncontrollable and they can't swim. So she eventually got an island in the middle of Hong Kong harbour where they couldn't swim, so she detoxed them and rehabbed them there and teach them about God's ways. They come, and this guy, the two gangs that come with their meat cleavers, and there's this boy in the middle who's with Jackie now, who used to be a triad, a criminal. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm going to get chopped up into little bits by the other gang who was our enemies, and my gang that I left, they're going to chop. So he drops to his feet, and he's got two gangs with meat cleavers, and the knives over there, 3 feet. Oh, I'm going to mess around when they fight, right? He drops to his feet, and he's praying to the Lord, and on the wharf, you know, where he's getting fed. He expects to be fed to the sharks, the shark bait. And all the fellas come around with their mouths and say, what you doing, man? And he prayed and he witnessed. So there's been hundreds of people now through Jackie's ministry. She's been there 50 years. This is a Jubilee year. She's got ministries in China and Vietnam and Asia and Mongolia, all around the world, people who've got the vision. And a long time ago, Jackie was in Hong Kong. In Australia, came and I went to several of the meetings. She was in Brisbane and Melbourne and places, and the Gold Coast, and went to the meetings. And I read her book in 1988, and then in 1998, I'm a doctor. I realised what I could do as a doctor to help, because when you read the book, it's actually a 20-year story, but it looks like, oh, this one gets saved, and that one gets saved, and I prayed, and the Holy Spirit's at that one, and they all get saved. No, 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 it's 20 years of ministry. And now I'm actually a professor of addiction medicine. So Jackie's ministry, it flies in the face of mainstream medicine, which just believes in methadone for these drug addicts and drugs like that. And you've seen the heroin, the shooting galleries, and all the nonsense in Sydney. So the world has no answer to addiction. The Bible word, I've written a book about it actually, it's about to be published. It's called Let My People Go, A Theology of Addiction, because people think there's nothing about addiction in the Bible. So taking what Jackie did, and I work with patients, I look after 3,000 to 5,000 registered addicts in Queensland, or I have looked after. And we look at the molecular level, the genetic level, and the epigenetic level. We write papers about that. But now, this year is Jackie's 50th year anniversary. So she sent me a letter. Anyone who played trumpet or shofar, please come and help us having a Jubilee celebration. Oh, and I told you about the Wall City. Well, eventually, through Jackie's ministry, someone wrote a book about her life, and a movie was made, and Chinese and English got together, and they bulldozed the Wall City. And all that criminal centre in Hong Kong, which is crime centre for Asia, was wiped out. You think about it, by one woman with a clarinet that was stolen, and the Spirit of God. It's a breathtaking story. So she asked us to go for 50th anniversary. So I'll go. I said to her, Jackie, I'd love to bring seven instruments, but I don't want to bring my cello on the plane. So she said, I can borrow a cello. And we are going to have ourselves a global praise party. So pray for us. Pray to redeem medicine, because medicine has obviously lost the plot on this. It is countercultural. Jesus said in Isaiah 61, preach the gospel to the poor, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set free the prisoners, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And medicine does exactly the reverse. So what's happening in addiction medicine is actually the prostitution of medicine. But so pray for us, because I've taken what Jackie taught me 20-something years ago and now made it a global ministry of righteousness. We're publishing the top journal. In fact, I've just reviewed on Friday night, Thursday night, the article of the world leader. Her budget is $1 billion. She supervises for the US government. They fund 90% of addiction research around the world. And I'm marking her work effectively in one of the medical journals looking about aging and addiction, because if addiction causes aging, there's 100 reasons for it. Then all this stuff is just wrong and satanic and crazy, but now we can introduce it. So I'll shut up, but that's what's going on.
You said pray, so let's do that. Father, we give thanks for Jackie's ministry, but Lord, her ministry has impacted around the globe, and it's impacted upon our brother Stuart's life. We thank you, Lord, for the way you have called him into this ministry and for the impact that he's making for you. Continue to use him, Lord, for your glory, for your honour, that the captives may be set free, to worship you, to love you, and to serve you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Fantastic. The book Chasing the Dragon is a very worthwhile book that's on Jackie's life. And one small part of that book that has stuck with me, there's many good parts in that book, but the one part that stuck with me is a lady who was an elderly lady who'd been a prostitute for 40, 50 years, a heroin addict for 40, 50 years, who used to sit in the gutter with a stick and just push the sewage along and, you know, prostitute herself to pay for a drug addiction, and also had to have syringes in the back because all her other bodily parts where she injected had collapsed. She came to faith in the Lord, and she was released from her addictions, and she had a new life in Christ. And there was another gentleman within the program who had also had similar healing in his life, and they got married, and she walked down the aisle in a pure white dress. And for me, that symbolises the gospel, and it highlights how God has used Jackie's ministry to bring healing and restoration to broken lives. As we think upon women's ministry, I think it's a challenge for us to think about all our ministry. And I've heard the church describe it can either be a dam, like a dam that collects water, or it can be a lake. And the dam is the negative picture of the church, in where it's sort of self-sufficient of itself. It gets the runoff water, the rain water, but the water doesn't run anywhere else. It just catches the water. And the thing is, with the water, because it's not moving, it can become stagnant. And over time, the dam can become filled with silt. And if you're not careful, it gets blue-green algae as well. And this dam, because it's self-focused, can become useless. Not any help to the livestock that it was built for, not useful to the family on the farm, perhaps, that want to draw water from it. Sometimes that's what the church can be like. It's inward-focused. And I've heard comments like, well, look, we just want to keep the doors open, or I just want the church to be there so when I die, I can get buried from the church. That's a self-focused, a self-concerned type of community, a life like a dam, where it's all about itself. The lake, on the other hand, has a life-giving source that flows in, but also can give life out. It receives life-giving water at one end, and at the other end, life-giving water flows out. It's interesting because our services in the church, in the Anglican Church, are meant to, in a way, capture that sense of gathering in, being fed on the Word of God, by receiving the sacraments, by our time of prayer and praise, not to become a holy huddle, not become a Christian church fellowship that's self-focused, but rather that one at the end is sent out to be a blessing to the community in which we live. Sent out like Jackie Bullinger, sent out like those women of faith who have impacted upon our lives. Not living a self-focused life, but rather a life that is life-giving to the community in which we live. It's been said that the church is the hope of the world. It's been said that the church doesn't exist for itself, but it exists for the world. We aren't here for our own benefit. We're here to be built up and equipped to go out and be God's presence of transformation in the world in which we live. We went to have a planning week a week or so ago, but it got postponed for reasons. And we're having it on the 10th of August at 7:30 p.m. here in the Good Shepherd Room. The reason we're having these planning meetings is so that we can collectively, not just me and parish council, but me and other people who have a real sense of urgency of the things of God, to look at how we can be a lake and not a dam. How we can be people who want to see this city and this region, this diocese and this nation, this globe, impacted for God, for God's glory, and for the build-up of God's kingdom. It's a time, this next one, where we'll be looking specifically at our women's ministry and our men's ministry. So if you're involved in a women's ministry, or a man's ministry, or would like to be involved in a man's ministry that maybe doesn't exist. We're going to look at how in those ministries we connect with our community, how we connect with men, how we connect with women. What opportunities do we have for them to connect with Christ? How do we share the gospel with them in a way that is non-threatening but inviting? How do we grow as men and women of faith? How do we grow in prayer, study of the Word of God and our worship? How do we serve? Over the coming weeks, we'll be looking at a series on our God-given shape. What are your spiritual gifts? What is your heart? What are you passionate about in God? What has God put on your heart to do in His mission? What are your God-given abilities? What's your personality? God's wired you a particular way so that you can impact people. What's your experience? Trying to be a doctor, using those skills to bring healing and restoration to people's lives. What has God equipped you with? Maybe it's a bad experience. If someone's been through a battle with cancer, guess who are the best people to talk to people about cancer and the battle of cancer? People who've been there. Maybe it's addiction with tobacco or drugs or pornography or something. Who are the best people to minister to people with those problems? People who have been restored from those problems. So my vision is, I believe, God's vision, not mine, that we are to dam, not a holy hill, but a lake, impacting this community for Christ as the Anglicans, but also with the wider church as well, that we might see people come to Christ, that we might see the captive set free to worship God. We can't do it alone. The bishop can't do it alone as our diocesan bishop. I can't do it alone as your pastor. We can't do it alone as the leadership team of the parish council. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. So let's take a moment of silence now as we lead into our time of prayer. Let's take a time of silence to think upon and seek God's Spirit to stir in our hearts and to speak into our minds the things that we need to hear this day. Lord, as we think about storehouses this morning from the Gospel reading, I think also of the time that Joseph was in Egypt and he was entrusted with stewardship of the grain of that nation. And Lord, you spoke to him of the 7 years that would be of great fruitfulness, of great blessing, and you spoke to him of the 7 years of drought. And Lord, he's obedient to the vision you've given him. And because of his obedience, Lord, many people were blessed. The storehouses weren't just to contain, but Lord, to be a blessing, a generous blessing to others in that region at that time. Lord, help us to not be a storehouse that is greedy, a storehouse that is only focused on ourselves, that we want to knock down what we have and build up bigger storehouses to contain all the blessings that you have given to us. Lord, help us rather to have an outward focus, to see that the blessings that we have received are not ours to hold, rather ours to pass on, to give away. For Lord, your blessings will never cease. They will continue to flow on and on and on. So help us not to be greedy, but rather help us to be generous and good stewards of all that you've entrusted to our care. So stir within us your spirit, guide us and direct us into your ways. And this we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As we sit and kneel, let us pray now for the world and for the church.